All right, let's pray and we'll jump right into a message on the book of Habakkuk. How many messages have you ever heard on the book of Habakkuk? You're going to hear one today. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning, this opportunity to gather together and worship you and just hear from you. I pray that everyone in this room and who's listening to this, our friends in Tremont, all would know your love for them this morning. Those who need encouragement would find encouragement. Those who need strength would find strength. Those who are waiting for an answer, and those who have gotten the wrong answer would all just trust you with whatever life is throwing at them this morning. We thank you for being who you are, even when we don't understand what you're doing. We ask that you just be with us this morning. Your spirit would move in this place and in our hearts. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been in our series, Don't Quit Here. And today's message is don't quit when you get the answer you don't like. And I just want to, we're going to be in the book of Habakkuk this morning. And they were all making fun of me because they're like, oh, that's a real fun book. Habakkuk is a crazy book, and if you read it, it's short. If you read it, you want to flip there right now, that would be great. If you read it, it can be a little confusing. It's got one big point, and that point is a super encouraging one. So my hope is that you are encouraged this morning, no matter what you're going through. Welcome to Grace Free Church, and welcome to our Tremont crew. Man, it was so good to just be with you in church a couple weeks ago. Love you guys. Hope you're having a great morning. Up there, the other Josh is up there this morning. He ran away because he was afraid about what it was. I'm just kidding. We love you guys. We're glad you're here. I need a volunteer to help me start this morning. Can somebody grab? This is going to be awkward. If you didn't want awkward, I don't know what to tell you. Go sneak out and get some coffee. I need somebody to grab an empty chair and bring it up here. Just one of the chairs there. You got to unhook it. Can somebody do that for me? Like you might have to like get up and there you go. You got one right here. Yeah, that'd be good. And there was pens on that and everything. I messed up your. Thanks, Sam. Good to see you. This chair is like an unanswered prayer. In fact, I have the biggest Sharpie ever created to man. So this is like, I started praying halfway through writing this that it was gonna fit. And now I'm praying that you'll be able to read it. No answer. Have you ever felt like have you ever been praying for something and just not, it's like radio silence from heaven? You ever been there? You don't understand why. You keep digging in, maybe, like you pray and you're like, it might be something, maybe medium of importance, maybe it's really big. And you're like, God, why don't you like answer this prayer? This is really important to me. I feel like it should be really important to you. And you pour your heart out and you get nothing back. Or maybe you just keep hammering it home. Persistence is gonna win the day. So every day you wake up and you're asking God for him to answer this prayer. And maybe you're praying something for one of your kids, or maybe you're praying something for yourself, or maybe you're praying something about a job, or maybe you're praying something about your mental or emotional health, or maybe you're praying something about your physical health, or somebody you care about's physical health. You know, there's tons of things that concern me, or there's tons of things that concern you. Maybe one of those concerns you've been asking God to answer your prayer, and it seems like no matter how hard you pray, no matter how much you've been coming to church lately because maybe God's going to answer your prayer there, no matter how much you talk to friends about it because maybe God's going to answer your prayer through them, no matter how much you beg or plead God, no matter how devout or obedient or faithful you are, you get this. Nothing. Silence. No answer. That's hard. And sometimes when we don't get any answer, we try to manufacture one. We'll try to stick some stuff in the chair. We'll try to force an answer that we like. We'll try to make it happen. We'll dig deep and we'll get real serious about our faith in God. We'll join the church. We'll jump into a group. We'll serve on the team. We'll talk to the pastor. We'll get real serious and we just keep revisiting the empty chair and revisiting the empty chair. And we're like, God, why won't you just answer this? Why won't you answer this? Have you ever felt that? It's super difficult when something that is super important to you and deep, maybe even emotional, and you're pleading with God about it, and all you hear in return are crickets. It's hard, but it's not the hardest. You know what the hardest is? I need somebody else to grab another chair. Somebody grab an empty chair. There we go. Thanks for volunteering, man. Can you hang out here for a little bit with me? Okay. Is that going to be all right? I promise. Here, just come up here and have a seat in this chair. Oh, what's your name?
Braden.
Braden. My guy, Braden. Let's hear it for Braden. Yay. Now, I got bad news for you, Braden.
I didn't sign up for that.
You didn't sign up for that. You know what's harder than like when you ask God for an answer to prayer and he's silent? You know what's harder? You're the wrong answer. My guy, Braden. What's harder than when you get no answer is when you get the wrong answer. I mean, it takes faith to like wait on God for him to show up and all you hear are crickets and you just keep asking him and asking him. But what about those times when you're asking him for healing and he says no? And that feels like the wrong answer. What about those times where you're asking him for rescue financially and he says no? What about those times when you're asking him to restore a relationship with somebody and the answer is no? What about when you're like pleading on behalf of your kids or your parents? And you're not waiting for silence anymore because God shows up with the wrong answer. What do you do then? How do you not quit then? What do you do when the answer that God gives you makes no sense at all? Thanks, my guy. Awesome. You can have a seat. And you are the right answer, by the way. What do you do then? That's the book of Habakkuk. This is the book of Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk was a prophet of God, but he's an interesting prophet. Because most of the prophets of God, Habakkuk to prophet to Judah, God's people, most of those prophets have something to say to the people. They're a prophet of God, which means they are God's spokesmen to the people of God. And they come in and they say stuff. They are the ones who deliver the answers to God's people. They come and speak on behalf. They speak warnings. They speak blessings. They speak all kinds of things throughout the Old Testament to the people of God. But not Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a prophet of God who all we have in the book of Habakkuk is a battle, a wrestling match, a dialogue, a back and forth between God's man and God, who aren't seeing things eye to eye. The book of Habakkuk is a couple of short chapters. You probably had a tough time trying to find it in your Bible. It's only three chapters. It's like a page and a half, maybe two and a half, depending on what size Bible you have and how large your print is. It's near the end of the Old Testament, and Habakkuk is this incredible conversation, the last part of this of which was turned into a song that they would sing and worship back then. But it says this: "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" This is the no answer part. Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. You have this book start with this prayer of Habakkuk to God. And what he is saying is like, why is this taking so long for you to answer this prayer of mine? I'm tired of seeing violence in my life. I'm tired of seeing oppression. I'm tired of seeing all these things don't make sense. You should be doing something about this. How long must I wait for an answer? You have here in the beginning this moment where it's the empty chair. It's the empty chair moment where Habakkuk is like, I know you see what's going on. I see what's going on. I know you are God above and you are watching and you are listening, but I'm confused as to why you are not doing anything about it. Now, I got to give Habakkuk props here because he has not abandoned God in his confusion or lack of answers. He is not in a great place and he is struggling mightily with the lack of answers he is receiving from God, but he's sticking. He's still searching. He's still asking, how long, how long? When are you going to answer? When are you going to do something about this? And then God answers. And his answer starts in verse 5. Look at the nations. Watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. That sounds like a good answer. That sounds like a fire them up on a Sunday morning type, that'll preach kind of answer. That sounds like a get them ready, get out of bed, man, drinks, put that coffee down your gullet. Let's go. God's doing something. You can't see it. It's bigger and crazier than you ever could have imagined. There's no way you saw this coming. And can you imagine like his delight at the, man, this is going to be better than I thought. And then it takes a real bad turn. Because the answer God gives him in the rest of this beginning chapter, it says, I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless, impetuous people who will sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings, not their own. They're feared and they're dreaded, and they are a law unto themselves and promote their own honor. And by the way, their horses are faster than leopards, and they're fiercer than wolves, and their cavalry will march straight into battle and they devour everything. And it goes on and on, talking about how horrific this group of Babylonians is. They mock kings, they scoff at rulers, basically, they do whatever they want, and they are an unstoppable force. And I am raising them up to take Judah. Wait, what? Can we go back and maybe I don't ask to begin with? Like, it starts sounding really good, and then all of a sudden it's like, yo, hold on. What are you talking about? How can that be? How can that be the answer? God, aren't you good? Don't you have good things for your children? Don't we have value in your eyes? Aren't you worried about us? Aren't you our protector? That is a confusing answer. That is the wrong answer. It's the wrong answer. And that is really hard. Habakkuk returns to God and says, they're worse than us in the rest of chapter 1. What are you talking about? I don't understand this. This cannot be right. This cannot be what you are really saying to me. Why would you do that, God? What's your wait what moment? God answers, and it's the wrong answer. That job would have been perfect for your family. And God says, stay in the job you hate. You've been begging God to rescue your kid from their addiction. And the answer is no. You've been pleading with God to restore your marriage. And they leave you. What's your wait? What? What are you doing, God? Why? Why would you do that, God? Moment. If you could take one thing away from this message today, my dad used to tell me this all the time. I'm just going to add a little bit to it. But he always used to tell me, when you can't see the hand of God, trust his heart. The wrong answers sometimes make you question God's heart. Is he really for me? Does he really love me? Is he really good? So I want to add something to what my dad used to tell me. I want to say, yeah, that's absolutely true. But also, when you don't understand what God is doing, trust his character. You have this pivotal moment here in Habakkuk. Maybe it's a pivotal moment that you are dealing with in life right now, where you do not understand the answer God is giving you. Habakkuk goes and he says in chapter 2 and verse 1, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Habakkuk, the prophet of God, he goes, this is the wrong answer. How could you? They are worse than us. Their violence is worse. Their evil is worse. And that's your answer. Your answer is to send some bigger problem to us. I don't get it, but I will go stand and I will watch and I will look and see what you're going to do next. And what you have here is this pivotal moment where Habakkuk doesn't quit. He doesn't abandon God. He doesn't go on some rant about how awful and evil God is. He questions his actions, but he doesn't question God's character. Instead, he goes like, there's got to be something that I don't understand. I know who this God is, so I'm going to wait and see. Some of you, that's an act of will. That's faith when you don't feel it. I will. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to drown myself in self-pity. I'm not going to drown these bad feelings in some sort of bottle or some sort of escape. I'm not going to be overcome with bitterness or anger. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to wait and see. Some of you need to declare that now. Like you need to say, I don't like the answer. I got an answer and it's the wrong one. I thought there was something better for me. This is really confusing. This is way worse. If I would have known this was the answer, I would have never asked. I would have never prayed. And some of you are in a moment like that. And right now, you got to make a decision if you're going to stand and wait to see what God is doing or if you're going to quit. And I would encourage you, like Habakkuk, even when you don't understand what God is doing, you can trust his character even when you don't see his hand and his heart doesn't make sense. You can trust him and say, I will wait. I will stand. I will watch. I'm going to wait to see how you work this answer out. And as he's standing and he's waiting, God answers him again. And in this answer is the hope piece that we need. When you get the wrong answer. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we don't have time, but you should definitely read it. God answers and replies to this in the rest of chapter 2, and then Habakkuk's final summation of the whole thing comes in Habakkuk chapter 3. God says, like, hey, write down this revelation. Write this down. For this revelation awaits its appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. Like he's saying, wait for the end of what I'm doing. It will certainly come and will not delay. He goes, see, the enemy is puffed up, but his desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. He goes on down in verse 6 and he says, woe to him. Now he's talking to Babylon, the Chaldeans now. Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. You drip down further and it says in verse 9, woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain, setting his nest on high. You drop down to verse 12 and it says, woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed. Verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Verse 15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. Drop down to 19, woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to the lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? Is it covered with gold and silver? There is no breath in it. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Now, let me just break down what God is saying in this answer in the book of Habakkuk. He says, I see Judah and I see Babylon. Nothing has escaped me. I see their wickedness. I see their violence. I know how bad they are. And then he says, and I will deal justly with everyone. Just as I am dealing justly with your people, Habakkuk, I will deal justly with the Babylonians and the Chaldeans. He's saying evil will not win. There's an end to the story. There's an end to the story for you, and there's an end to the story for Babylon. And evil will not win. My timing is not your timing, and you're going to have to wait till the end of this story. But my timing is not your timing, and I'm doing something you cannot understand. But what you can understand is I am sovereign. Now, if you don't know what that means that God is in control even when. He's in control even when you don't understand what he's doing. He's in control even when you get the wrong answers. He's in control even when you get no answer. He's in control even when that relationship is blowing apart. Even when you are heartbroken. Even when you feel like you have lost something that could never be replaced. He's in control when the world seems like it's spinning out on us. Nothing happens outside God's authority. I am sovereign. And you can trust me. And there's some nuggets in here for us. So worship team's gonna come out. There's some encouragements dripped in to this message about how awful the Babylonians are and how good God is still, even when you don't understand it. He says in verse 4 of chapter 2, did you catch it? The righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Habakkuk caught that. God's encouragement in the beginning of this wrong answer was just stay faithful. Stay faithful to him when the answers don't come and when they're the wrong answers. Stay faithful, the righteous person. When you are, if you want to be righteous, found right with God, you're going to live by faith through faithfulness to God, even when you don't understand it. Now that's hard. Man, it is messy when you don't get the wrong answer. When I get the wrong answer, I waver. It's crazy. Like, you should not be in my head. Like, I get the wrong answer and it's real messy. And I go from being super angry at people to super angry at God to being having these moments where I'm like, I trust you, God. And then the next moment I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know if I trust you, and I can do this and I can't do this. And God, you can do this, but please don't do it again like that. Like, this is messy. It's messy. And it's okay that it's messy. Just stay faithful. Stand at the watch and wait for what God is doing. Trust him even when it's messy. And you'll have moments of anger and frustration and disappointment and hurt. You'll cry tears. Just keep coming back to waiting on him. He says, bring all of it to me. He is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to you. The other encouragement is that God wins. Verse 14 of chapter 2, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea. There's no question mark in that verse. There's no, well, maybe at the end God wins. No, it's like, hey, no matter what happens, this earth is going to be full of the knowledge of me. People are going to know who I am and what I'm doing. This is going to be full of my glory as the waters cover the sea. There's no sea without waters. It's a done deal. 100%. Bank on it. What's big to you is small to God. And verse 20 of chapter 2, he is still there. Habakkuk doesn't get an answer. He doesn't get an answer that he likes. There's nothing that changes. He gets an answer. It's the wrong one. God never relieves him of that wrong answer. It's not, oh, you've been faithful. You stood and watched. Good job. Let's take that away. No, there's none of that. There's none of like, oh, at the end, the story flips and all of a sudden there's going to be a better ending for all of God's people and everybody lives happily ever after. And let's high five and hug it out. Church was awesome this morning. Nope. None of that. There's nothing changes. Listen. Nothing changes in Habakkuk's circumstances, but Habakkuk changes. In the very end of the chapter of the book, in verse 17, read the whole answer of Habakkuk. It's absolutely beautiful. He goes from, how long, God? I'll wait and watch. That's the wrong answer. I'm gonna stand here and wait. And in the beginning of chapter 3, he's like, I stand in awe of who you are, God. I don't understand it, but I stand in awe of you. And then it ends with, yet, nothing has changed. My plants are all dying. It's for real. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vine. Some of you, your life feels like this. Listen, this is how your life feels like. Empty, fruitless, disappointing. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet, circle that word, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Yet, there's nothing growing in my life. I'm not getting the answers that I want. It seems like he's not answering me, yet I will praise him. And sometimes the answers seem wrong, and I don't understand why he isn't restoring this or fixing this or making it better, why the answer seems worse than the problem was to begin with. Yet I will praise him. What's your yet moment? It's an act of your will and faith to go, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't feel your love right now in this moment. I don't understand your answers. Yet, I will praise you because of who you are. Some of you have a moment to do that right now as we end this song, this service and worship. What's your yet moment? That relationship's a mess. God's not changing it. Yet, will you praise him? You don't see a way out of the financial burden you've been in. Yet, will you continue to trust him? Your health isn't changing. They're not bringing you good news of healing yet. Will you still wait and watch for him? Whatever you're going through, even though your circumstances don't change, could you wait and watch and trust the character of God and the heart of him for you and praise him anyway? God, we thank you so much for this morning. Some of us need a yet moment. We're going to trust you with the empty chair and the chair with the wrong thing in it. We're going to say, even when we don't see the fruit and even when things in our life aren't growing and it seems empty and we don't understand what you're doing and there's no explanation and it seems like you're just full of wrong answers for us at this time, yet we will praise you. We're going to make a choice of our will to trust you. Even in our confusion, I pray that this moment right now as we end these services in song would be a moment where somebody decides to praise you through faith, even though nothing has changed and everything seems wrong. Would you show up for them? Maybe not in changed circumstances, but in that peace that surpasses understanding, in that hope that cannot be quenched. In that encouragement, even in the dark valleys. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.